who are newer may not know too much about it. It's really the governance of the United Methodist Church. Big old book. Every 4 years it changes. There's one thing that stays in there every 4 years, and that's how pastors, clergy, are supposed to take care of themselves. And it says in the Book of Discipline that for every 4 years you work, you're to take 1 month of renewal, spiritual renewal leave, spiritual formation, not including your 4 weeks of vacation. That's how it reads. So I've been doing this a while. So beginning tomorrow, actually Tuesday officially, I will be taking 3 months of renewal leave. I will have the summer off. And I know when I think about it, it sounds like an awful lot, 3 months. And I have colleagues who won't take it. They feel like they're indispensable. So they'll go 40 years without ever taking a moment's renewal leave. But I want to share with you that as stewards of this church, you pay for my medical insurance. My medical insurance is $900 a month. Just for me. And do you want to know why it's $900 a month? Does anybody want to guess what the sickest profession is? Ministers, pastors, clergy of all stripe are the sickest people in the United States. So, to take 3 months renewal leave probably makes sense. I plan to make a really good use of my time off. Some of you were asking me before church, what are you doing? Are you traveling? Are you going to San Diego to stay? No. First of all, I'm going to be off a week, and then I'm going on the mission trip. For 9 years, I've said, can we have a mission trip? Can we have an adult mission trip? And so they scheduled it while I was going to be off, thinking maybe I wouldn't go. No, I know they didn't do that. But I'm going anyway. They're stuck with me. I've waited 9 years since I got here for this, and I'm so excited about it. So I will go on the mission trip. Lance and I are going to go see his mom, and then our whole family's going to Cleveland because our middle daughter, the one who's coming next week, is going to get married, but she's going to have a reception in Ohio, so our family can all be together. That'll be fun. Mostly, I'm just going to be over there. I'm going to write. I'm going to work on my thesis. I'm going to drag it off the shelf and dust off all the dirt that's been on it and try to get up the nerve to read it again and go, oh my gosh, this is horrible. And see if I can grab something from it to see if there's some more writing that I can do. That's one of the main reasons for the rest and spiritual renewal this summer. I plan on exercising and resting and walking my spaz dog. I mean, she doesn't quite get the leash yet, so if you see me falling over on the sidewalk, I know that we're really not going to see each other much, but you may pick me up and set me right, because I'm expecting that she's going to trip me at least once. Lance and I are going to spend weekends together, something that we have never been able to do. We've been married almost 14 years, and I've always been doing this, and he's always been doing it with me, so it'll be nice to have some weekends together and go to the mountains like I know many of you do. And I am looking forward to this new schedule, but I admit I have some angst, some uneasiness, a little trepidation about the whole thing. And I know this will surprise you, but it's partially because I like being in control. Seriously, I wanted to share that with you. You should know something about me before I go next door. So I've spent the last few months in this sort of thoughtful discernment about what it means to turn it all over for 3 months. And it's really been a prayerful, reflective time for me. I think getting ready for the leave is going to be as helpful as the leave itself. Pastor Carrie and I have met many times, and she has given me complete confidence that she's ready, willing, and able to lead the congregation this summer. Amen is right. Now, she will have some baptism by fire, but I figure that's part of being clergy. Oh well. If I don't hear her over here screaming, I figure everything's going pretty well. I've spoke with their various colleagues about their renewal leaves and how they handled it, what they did do, what they didn't do. And another place that I turned, this surprised me, but I just knew intuitively that there would be words for me there, and that was to the letters of Paul. Paul's letters, all the epistles that he wrote to the churches, he wrote because he could not be with them. Whenever he was away from them, he wrote to them. Now, Paul sometimes gets on my last nerve. No question. But in so many ways, we are kindred spirits. He was a control freak also, so we have that in common. But he wrote to these churches that he cared for, and his letter to the church at Philippi, the letter to the Philippians, is very special and beautiful because he regarded them with a special affection. He always said he had deep longing for them whenever he was away from them. Now, I have to admit, Paul writes most of his letters from prison. I will not be in prison. But if you look out the window, you may see me holding on to the fence, gazing through, wondering what I'm going to do with myself next. So it's not the same. I admit it's not the same. But the point I want to make about Paul was when he was away from all of these churches, and even when he was imprisoned, he wrote with joy, mostly. If he was angry, he told them that too, but mostly he was just so joyful about his faith in Christ and about his relationship with these churches. He was always thanking them, especially the church at Philippi, for their prayers and for their special gifts to him. So I want to thank you first, right away, for your prayers. Catherine raised prayers today. For your prayers while I'm gone. And I also want to thank you for your special gifts, because you are the stewards of the church, and I will be paid for the whole 3 months that I'm off. I will still have medical coverage. All of that is a blessing from you. So I want to thank you for that before I leave. And I want you to hear some of these words from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, because they speak for me as well. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For the next 3 months, I will do what I always do. I will thank God every time I remember you, because you have shared the gospel with me since the first day I came here. Some of you more recently, some of you the whole 9 years. But all of you have made it clear that you hold me in your heart and share in God's grace with me. I was not prepared for the children to hug me goodbye today. So at the end of the service, after the benediction, I am going to go down and hug all the children goodbye. Because it shocked me. Zianna told me, it's like Mary explained to her, it's like a teacher, but you'll be back in September. So I didn't take into account, I thought of all of you big kids, but I forgot about the little kids. Your love has overflowed more and more and more while I have been here. You know, Paul was always talking about in the day of Christ, that you may be pure and blameless. He, of course, thought Jesus would be returning any second, that it was imminent. But all his letters show that. His letters are preparation. He's writing to people, these fledgling churches, preparing them for the coming of Christ. So every single letter was instruction to help the churches keep focused on their ministry and on the future, with their hope being in Christ, not in Paul, but in Christ. Christ, who is the head of the church. He wrote to them, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." I love the words. I love the idea of pressing forward towards a goal that is the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you might say, come on, Pastor, you're just going on summer vacation. Paul was in prison. But you know what? I feel like I am letting go. I feel like I am going to miss you. I know that I'm going to be in prayer with you. And Paul and I don't share all the circumstances, but we do share our hope in Christ and our belief in the church. Neither I nor Paul are the reason for the growth of the church. It is the movement of the Holy Spirit. It is God's wind blowing upon us, making us new. It is our faith in God through Christ Jesus and our commitment to follow Christ every day of our lives, wherever he may lead. And I hope that for the summer, it is into the future that God leads you. That is where Christ calls us to, the future. It might be tempting to put yourself on hold and autopilot for the summer. After all, we are United Methodists, and it is summer. And somehow we have a culture of, oh, it's summer, I'll see you in September. But you know what? I can hear over there. And if you're not singing loud, I'll know you're not over here. So sing loud, and I want to hear Christ proclaimed next door when I'm in the yard with my dog. I know it'd be easy to say, we'll just kick it back in gear when Pastor Betty gets back, and then be a consumer of whatever Pastor Carrie has to offer. But that's not right, is it? No. I know that there's a lot of fun things to do during the summer, and I plan to do some of them. And I can't wait. But I'm hopeful that you will be faithful during the summer, because during the summer, our mission statement can't be put on hold. Our statement of welcome isn't just suddenly unimportant because it's summer. And if you look on the back of the bulletin, have you ever seen what it says, where it says ministers? All the congregation. That's you guys. Our church needs to be looking forward. And the one vital thing that all churches that succeed have in common is hope. Hope for the future, a vision for the future. And that isn't going to stop because it's summer or because I'm not here. A hope that is grounded in the future. That is where the church finds itself important and necessary to the creation. Did you read the thought for meditation about the hockey player? Oh, well, I'll read it to you. When asked about the secret of his success, a hockey player said that he skates to where the puck is going to be and not where it has been. So what I want you to do this summer is skate to where the puck is going to be. But I want those places, that vision, to be yours. This is going to be an awesome time for you. This is a congregation that has been committed to skating towards the puck ever since I've been here. And it's my prayer that that's what you'll do during the summer, that you'll do a few things. First and most important is that you will prayerfully take care of Pastor Kerry, who has been your spiritual leader for 7 years. You talk about time going by really fast. It's just amazing to think that you've been here together with all of us that long. She has shown her faithfulness and stewardship to you. And no minister does it alone. In fact, Lone Rangers don't have vital churches. So you'll be prayerfully helping her through the summer, wondering what it is that you can do in the name of Christ with her as your spiritual leader. My prayer is that you will rise up, step up, that you'll be creative. I'd like for you to solve about every single problem the church has before I come back. I mean, seriously. I mean, when I come back, I'm going to be rested. Let's just keep that going. I want you to invite new people. I want you to think about and discuss new programs. I want you to give of your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your witness. And I want you to worship. Because at the core of our spiritual life is worship. Our hearts are as one in Christ. I know that. And I will take that with me this summer. I hope that we will all not take for granted this beautiful, beautiful church and what it needs from us. And whatever you do will certainly be a gift to me, no question, but that's not the reason for doing it. It is truly the way in which we glorify God. So I want you to have fun this summer. I will keep you all in my prayers. I will listen to you sing from next door. And I want to leave you with Paul's words, because he held this church at Philippi so dear, and I hold you so dear. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. See you in September. Amen.